Morning. Starting next week, we're going to start doing a 9:30 service the first Sunday of every month. So we'll do a 9:30 and an 11 o'clock service only on the first Sunday of every month. And what we're going to do is offer our Lord's Supper service at this 9:30 service the first Sunday of the month because a couple of reasons. One, it is important for us to gather together and remember Jesus Christ. It is important for us to take time out of our schedule, even if it's just once a month, and take a moment and quiet our hearts before God and reflect on the awesome work of Jesus Christ. And I want to make this as easy as possible for everybody to do. So once a month, we're going to have two services, 9:30 and 11. Join us the first Sunday of the month, and we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together because God does an awesome work in us when we spend time reflecting on Him. In your bulletins today, there's a list of our life groups. If you haven't got a chance to join a life group yet, we've got some awesome ones going on. We're starting a new one for girls once a month. We're going to exercise and learn together. All that fun information is in there. Life groups are an important part of us connecting and growing in our faith. And if you haven't got a chance to start one yet, please make sure you do. It's an awesome experience in the church. And the last thing is, we handed out journals a couple weeks ago, and the purpose of these journals was for us to really take some time to grow in our disciplines and our faith and our time we spend with God. And I don't know if you were here that week or you didn't get one, but I've got extras out on Main Street. And if you didn't get a chance to get one yet, grab one on your way out today. It's got a really nice little handout in there that gives you some ideas on how to start journaling and reading the Bible and just spending some more time with God. Sound good? All right, let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a good and loving God. We thank you for the sunshine of this morning. We thank you for the joy of this church. And we thank you for this moment in time that you've brought us together. Father, I pray that you would draw us nearer to you today. That, Father, as we work on these healthy life decisions, that you would root out what is not healthy and good in us and help us to turn towards what is right and good in you. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I read a really interesting article this week about the lengths that we will go to complain. And in it, it told a couple of stories. The first story was about a man named Arthur Bundridge, who in 2012 decided to go rob an Alliance Bank in Syracuse, New York. He walked up to the teller in the bank and demanded that she give him $20,000, to which she said no, brave girl. He demanded it again, so the teller handed over an unspecific amount of cash and he left. And the bank immediately called 911, the police showed up, and they started working to try and catch him. Now, what's interesting about this is he got home and he realized that the teller, hadn't given him the full $20,000. And outraged at this, he went back to the bank to complain. I'm not kidding. He actually walked up to the door trying to go back in to complain when he was caught and arrested. It doesn't end. Another man in Atlanta, he robbed a Wendy's. He went up to the drive-thru. He had a mask on and a gun, and he pointed the gun at the person behind the window and demanded their tray of their cash drawer. So he got the cash drawer and ran away with it. But he got home, started counting up the money in the cash drawer, and was so upset by how little money he had gotten from a Wendy's, he called the store not once but twice to complain that there wasn't enough money. And he actually threatened them. This is what he says. Next time I rob you, there better be more than $586 in your cash drawer. No, I read these and I was out loud laughing, I'm not going to lie, because they seem 100% absurd and it's a little bit ridiculous that they're true, which unfortunately only proves the point that we'll complain about anything. Because, I mean, when we think about it, we complain a lot, and I hate this topic. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, because I'm pretty good at complaining, and I've got a lot of reasons why it's okay that I complain, and it's not a big deal at all, but here's the truth. We complain about anything and everything, right? We complain about family and work and traffic and food and our health and money or lack of money, bills and how expensive things are, and we complain about people. We complain about TV. We complain about politics, the government, the weather, bad service. I'm not kidding. I was actually thinking about this, and the wrong part of me is going, well, if they wouldn't give me so many things to complain about, right? Like, I wouldn't have so many things. Okay. But what happens is all this research is going into now how we complain and what effect it has on us. And what's interesting is one of these research said that the average person complains about 30 times a day. This is another bad number. And they said if you add up all the time we spend complaining, on average, it comes to a little over 8 hours a day that we spend on complaining. And here's the problem with it. There's a lot. But one of them is it becomes a habit. We create this normal habit of complaining. The more we complain, the more likely we are to complain. And it is actually an unhealthy habit for us. We think I'm venting, I'm getting this off my chest, I'm getting my emotions out. And the problem is, unfortunately, it doesn't help us at all. In fact, it does just the opposite. So on one hand, sometimes I complain and I get it all out and I'm like, wow, I feel better. But then the people around me don't. Like, I get my bad emotions out, but the problem is it has an effect on the people around me. So they actually said complaining doesn't only make us not feel better, it makes other people feel bad as well. And I apologize because this is crude, but they likened it to emotional farting. Like, that's what they say complaining does in a room, right? Like, you can clear out a room quickly. One or the other. And what happens is we're so used to just venting our spleen and how we feel and what's going on that we stop even looking about how it affects the people around us. It doesn't necessarily at all affect my mood or make me feel better, but it does dampen the mood of other people. And then they went on and said that when we complain, our brains release stress hormones that actually damage our neural connections in the areas we use for problem solving and other cognitive function. One of the side bad habits of complaining is it negatively affects our ability to problem solve. It negatively affects our ability to think up solutions. And then, as if all those aren't bad enough, they said this negative track that we get into, it releases that, it's called cortisol, and it interferes with our learning and memory. It lowers our immune function, our bone density, increases weight gain, blood pressure. They had me at weight gain, but they go on. Blood pressure, cholesterol, and heart disease. I said one of the problems with complaining is it keeps us very negative focused. And the more time we spend in the negative mindset, it has this very damaging effect on our minds and on our bodies because we start looking for negative. We're so focused on only seeing the problems and the bad and the flaws and the wrongs that we get stuck in this negative cycle of thinking. Eckhart Tolle said this, "To complain is always non-acceptance of what is. It invariably carries an unconscious negative charge. When you complain, you make yourself a victim. But on the other hand, when you speak out, you are in your power. So change the situation by taking action or by speaking out if necessary or possible. Leave the situation or accept it." Saying when we complain, here's what happens. We're just kind of saying this is how it is. Like, I just, you know, kind of accept how things are and what's happening around me. And we set ourselves up to be a victim of circumstance. We set ourselves up as a passive, inactive participant in our own life. And rather than looking at situations as how as I can affect them or how I can change them or what I can do, we just take it. Like, that's what's happening to us. And then we see what we look for. We know this is true. Like, I got a car a year and a half ago. I swear I've never seen this car before in my entire life. It did not exist until I bought it. And now it literally every other person has the same car as me. Have you had this happen to you? I mean, I'm not lying when I say I never saw it. I didn't even know what it was, but we liked it. It was kind of cool. We looked around. And then now it's like, holy cow, this must be like I started a trend. No. It's not true. We see what we're looking for. Now that I have this car, I see it everywhere. Well, the same is true for negative thinking. The more I get caught up on focusing on what's bad and what's negative, that's all I see. The more I'm caught up in thinking about problems and how terrible everything is, I only see the things that are wrong all around us. And it becomes self-fulfilling prophecies, right? Like, I knew this was going to happen. I knew the world was coming to an end. I knew everything was bad. I knew it was going to be crappy. Because when we complain, it leads us into this negative thinking. It leads us into this cycle of only focused on problems and what's wrong. And here's the problem. It is an incredibly hard habit to break. Have you ever tried to break a habit before? They're all pretty terrible. But this is an exceptionally hard one because it becomes so natural to us, right? It's a habit. A habit is an unconscious thing. You don't even think about doing it. And we're so used to doing it. It's so natural to us. We don't even think about it. Like, we're like, what? Was that bad? Was that neck? Like, we don't even catch ourselves doing the thing that isn't healthy for us. So let's do a little bit of context for what actually complaining is. Let's define it for ourselves because I like to rationalize. And I used to, this isn't complaining. It doesn't count. Let's create boundaries so we know. All right. So one way of thinking about complaining is we define it as expressing dissatisfaction or annoyance about a state of affairs or events. I'm annoyed by something. I'm dissatisfied by it. Something that's going on. Or another way to phrase this is, it's the verbal expression of negativity, a pervasive, self-imposed, unfavorable view of the world. And then the last one, which I really like, is when we blame others or life instead of accepting the situation and taking responsibility to make things better. So these are all different ways about thinking through complaining. Now, here's what complaining isn't. There's a difference between having a problem that you're trying to work your way through and complaining. When we have a problem, we're seeking ways to fix it, right? Like, I want to solve it. I want to change it. I want to make it better. I want to say, okay, I can do something about this. And I'm actively involved looking for ways to change the outcome. That's working our way through a problem. Now, complaining, on the other hand, is I'm just verbalizing things are bad. Like, I'm just out loud saying, this person is terrible, this thing sucks, I'm annoyed by this, I'm frustrated by this, and I have no intention of doing anything about it. Like, I'm just out loud saying, I'm annoyed, I'm frustrated, I'm upset, I'm stating what's bad, but I'm not doing anything to change the problem. And this negative focus thinking, what it does is it doesn't give us any thought process into how to change it, how to make it better, and how to do anything about it. And because this habit, we repeat and we do over and we do over and we do over again, what happens is it becomes the lens through which we see everything else. This natural habit that becomes part of my life becomes how I see myself. It becomes how I see the people around me and how I see the world and how I see the things that are happening in it. And one of the places that we see this, I want to give you a good illustration of what this looks like, is in the lives of the Israelites. When you read about God's people in the Old Testament, they have this really incredible history. It was such a part of their lives. They always talked about their history and what had happened and where they came from and what God had done. And one of their moments that they talked about again and again and again is when God freed them from slavery. They were slaves in Egypt. It was a foreign land. It wasn't their home, and life was incredibly hard. Like, they were forced into labor. Their entire lives were controlled by those who were in power. Their freedoms were taken away. Their children were dying, and they just cried out to God for help. And what's awesome is God heard them, and God raised up Moses and had this incredible plan for setting his people free from slavery. And what happened is, you've maybe heard about this in Exodus, and there was the plagues, right? There was like the frogs and the gnats and the locust and darkness and water turned to blood and animals were dying. All right, these things that the world had never seen before, God was doing, and he did it in this incredible way until Pharaoh finally freed God's people and let them out of slavery. And then he changed his mind, and he sent an army to go chase them. And then they got, God parted the Red Sea. They went through the Red Sea, closed up on the army. They got away free. Like, it was this incredible moment in time, just filled with miraculous things happening. And it seems like if you had been a part of that, like, I always think, like, man, if I got to be there and see what God did then, like, my faith would be unstoppable, right? Like, if I had been able to see what God did and all of these awesome things, like, I would be so filled with gratitude and wonder and just amazement at what he could do. But instead, they complained. They actually said at one point, they were so frustrated with the circumstance, it would have been better that we died as slaves than what's happening right now. They actually said it would have been better that we died in Egypt than to be where we are right now. I mean, they hardcore complained. Like, they didn't beat around the bush about it at all. When they were hungry, they complained and they cried out to God, and God sent this magical thing called manna from heaven, and they made bread, and then bread wasn't good enough. They wanted meat, and then God sent them meat, and then that wasn't good enough, and they were thirsty, and God sent them water pouring out of a rock, and they still grumbled and complained about everything that was wrong. But the problem is this complaining that they had, which maybe we could look at it and say, like, that's a legitimate, uncomfortable circumstance, but it turned to bitterness. The things that they started off complaining about and grumbling about, it changed over time to a bitterness. And this bitterness led them to just a discontent of heart. Their hearts were so incredibly discontent, and it pulled them away from God. And this bitterness and this discontentment, it pulled them so far away from their relationship with God that they didn't just stop trusting him. They didn't just stop believing in him. They actively disobeyed God again and again and again. And the sad part is they pulled themselves right out of these incredible blessings that God had in store for them, because they were on a journey. They were going from here to there, and they didn't get there. They were in the middle. And in the middle, they lost sight of these incredible promises of God. They got so caught up in the negative of their circumstance. They got so caught up in the things that they wouldn't stop complaining about, and the things that they were frustrated about, and the things that were never good enough for them, that they missed all of these incredible things that God was doing right around them. And friends, the same is true for us today. We can get so caught up in this habit of complaining and negativity that our hearts can turn to bitterness, that our souls can start to turn to the same kind of discontent. And we can get so caught up in only seeing what's wrong that we miss out on all of the awesome things God is doing around us. Which is why one of the healthy decisions that we get to make for life is, how do I stop being a person who complains? How do I stop being a person who only focuses on the negative and shifts my perspective to a different way? And that's what we're going to talk about. This is what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2. He writes this letter to the church in Philippi. He's encouraging them and strengthening them as the church. And look at what he says in chapter 2. He says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." I can't help, every time I read the Old Testament and I read about God's people and I read about this journey that they're on, like, I just want to shake them. Like, I just want to, like, jump through the pages of time and, like, jump into their history and be like, wake up, you're missing it, right? Like, God's doing something incredible. Nobody else is going to get to see this, and you're missing it. I want to, like, I don't know, shout at them, because, you know, shouting at people changes their minds. And I want to, like, get them to see they're ruining this moment about what God is doing. But every time I get there, because I get there a lot, this sad truth that God kind of confronts my heart with, I'm just as guilty as they are. I do exactly the same things they do in a different set of life circumstances. I'm not wandering through the wilderness trying to get to the promised land, but I'm going through my journey of life. And God's got a here to there that he wants to get me to. And I'm not here, but I'm not there. I'm in this journey. I'm somewhere in this middle. And I am just as guilty of complaining as they are. And I'm also, like, really good at self-deception and really all these reasons why it's okay and it's not that bad and all this rationalizing. I knew I was preaching about this week, so I've been working on it. Because I promise, I don't tell you to do things that I don't do myself. And it's obnoxious how many times I wanted to complain this week. And it's obnoxious how many times when I caught myself wanting to complain, I would actually start rationalizing why it wasn't a complaint. It was totally fine, and it wasn't the same thing that I was talking about. Really, God's using this sermon for me, if you're wondering. Okay. Here's the truth. If we're going to live lives the way Christ calls us to live, like if we're going to develop our faith and grow our souls and grow into the courage and the hope and the joy that God wants us to live, if we're going to develop into our full potential, we have to start thinking about the life decisions that we make. And I'm not just talking ambiguous life decisions or general decisions like, what am I going to do? Like very specific, every single day choices, every single day habits that we create, I have to confront not everything I do is good for me. Not every choice I make is healthy for my soul. Not everything I've just accepted as normal, I should have. And I've got to confront myself again and again and again saying, what is not good in me that's leading me away from Christ and changing my view of who he wants me to be in this world? And one of these is complaining. It's this negative bitterness that we take perception of. So, Paul says, we got to start here. We got to do all things without grumbling or disputing. Not some things, not other things. He says we got to do all things without this sense of complaint and groaning and mumbling. Mumbling's a good word for complaining because usually when we're complaining, we're doing it so other, like a select few people can hear us, but not everybody can hear us, right? I was a really good mumbler as a teenager. Like my dad's back would turn and everything I couldn't say, I could get in really quick in like a 30-second span. All right. But this is different ways that we get to approach life. Like, how am I going to choose to approach my life? On the one hand, I could say this doesn't matter. It's not important. It's not that big of a deal. It's never really gotten me in that much trouble. It's not that hard on my life. Like, I can just kind of let it go and just kind of like let complaining go unchecked and say it's not a big deal. It says, or we can approach life making a different decision. We can approach life from the perspective of saying, I can do life without complaining. Like, it might be uncomfortable for a minute. Like, I might have to do some of the hard, heavy lifting up front, but I can do life without bitterness. I can do life without whining. I can do life without a feeling of discontent, without disputing and criticizing and arguing. But if I'm going to get there, there are some things I've got to confront in me and root out of my life. And I got to do the thing that makes me look at myself and say, I do this. Complaining is a habit. I do it regularly, but I can change it. Just like any habits that we have, we are able to change it, but it starts with becoming aware of it. Right? Like the first step to changing anything is becoming aware that it exists in me. So how do we think about how aware we are of how much complaining we do on a regular basis? I read this interesting, it's from Will Bowen. He wrote a book called A Complaint-Free World, How to Stop Complaining and Start Enjoying the Life You Always Wanted. Here's six steps he gives us to stop complaining. He says, number one, catch yourself. If you want to just even become aware of how much you complain, like maybe you don't believe me and you want to test it, go for it. Like just start tomorrow, take out a little sheet of paper, like keep it in your pocket or use a note on your iPhone. And every time you complain, just make like a little dash mark. And at the end of the day, count how many dash marks you made. But since you're testing it and you're trying it, make yourself stop every time you want to complain. Like every time you catch yourself wanting to complain about something, stop yourself, don't say it, and just keep track of how many times you do it. You can also notice people's cues around you. Remember emotional farting? People notice. Look, like if you hear yourself talking and people start to look, right, annoyed, frustrated, right, like we see it, that's a cue that our emotional venting is having an effect on the people around us. Maybe what I don't even qualify as complaining, I'm so far deluded, I don't even think I'm complaining, but the people around me are affected by it and I'm affecting the mood. So just start thinking, how often do I complain? Just take one day and keep track of yourself and see what you find out. I promise I did this, you'll be surprised. All right, number two, create some space for yourself. So what happens is when I start to notice how often I'm complaining, I also start to notice like where I'm complaining and when I'm complaining and how I'm complaining. And I got to create some space for myself around this. Like, okay, let's ask the question, why am I complaining? Because sometimes it's flippant and it's easy, right? Like something was bad, I like to say that it was bad. But sometimes there are things in my emotions that trigger my complaining. So before I complain, let me think through what's going on with myself. This is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm feeling. This is what's happening around me. Sometimes it's stupid and I just need to get over myself. Other times, it's legitimately connected to something else, but it's easier for me to complain about it than it is to fix the something else. So I got to catch myself, and then I got to create some space, and I got to think through, what am I thinking? What's going on right now that's triggering this response that I want to complain? And then the third part about that is be specific. As I start noticing what I'm feeling, I got to hone in on what's upsetting me. He uses this example, like it's easy to complain about how annoying a manager can be, right? But there's really not a concrete way to solve having an annoying manager. Like, there's no healthy conversation that you get to sit down and say, well, here's the deal. You annoyed me on Monday, you frustrated me on Tuesday, and then you annoyed me some more on Wednesday, right? Like, that's not a healthy game plan. So instead, what I hone in when I'm specifically thinking about it is, what's really annoying me about them? Like, what's the thing that's annoying me? Maybe it's because they're incredibly disorganized and it's affecting the job that I'm trying to do. I can't have a healthy conversation about annoying, but I can have a healthy conversation about disorganization. But what happens is I got to follow the line of thinking and see where it takes me. It's tough to create a plan about something that's super ambiguous, but the more I can hone in and attach it and think about it, I can create strategies to deal with it. Which leads to number four, taking action. If I identify something that's connected to what I want to complain about, and it's a conversation I have to have, or a behavior I need to change, or a life shift I need to make, once I identify it, I got to do something about it. I got to address the problem. Otherwise, what? I'm just going to keep complaining about it. So I've actually got to take some action, and I got to change something, whether it's, again, having a conversation or changing me or affecting the way I look at things. The only different result I'm going to get is if I do a different behavior that leads into it. Otherwise, it's going to be the same cycle again and again. And here's what's incredibly interesting. Listen to what he said. He said, here's what happens for most complainers. They get to work and complain about their family. They come home from work and complain to their family about work. So they go back and forth complaining about one or the other, but they never, ever speak to the person who can actually improve. They never have the conversation with the person who could actually affect the things that they're complaining about. If I complain about work but never talk to the people at work that I'm complaining about, it's never going to change, right? It's the helpless, I'm a victim cycle. If I complain about my family, but I never talk to the people in my family about the things that I'm upset about or frustrated about or disappointed about, it's never going to change. And I know it's easy to say, well, they're my family, you don't know them, they'll never change. Try. We give them no opportunity to if we don't talk about it. If we don't address the problem with the person we're having the problem with, we never have a chance, a hope, of life being any different than it is now. So he said, we determine the outcomes we wish or how to improve the situation, and then we work with the people on how to go about doing it. Not always perfect. Doesn't always end the way that we want it to, but we at least have a fighting chance, right? We at least have a shot at improving a relationship or a circumstance rather than just venting about it, rather than just sitting in it and stewing in it and miring in it. And he says, fifth, try and establish some new habits. Create a supportive environment around you. He said, create a complain-free zone, right? Like, you're not allowed to complain, but neither are other people who come into your complain-free zone. Say it. People will laugh at you, but it's true. He said, become mindful of how often we use the word but in our language, right? Like, I'm really having a good time, but this... We use it as a qualifier to make a negative complaint or make a negative comment or add to the conversation. He says, look for ways to actively avoid complaining. And then his last suggestion is practice meditation. And I'm going to tweak this a little bit for our effectiveness. Because we don't talk about meditation as just mindlessly emptying my mind, right? Like, I'm not just trying to, like, empty my mind and focus on nothing. What I want to do is, when I meditate, what I'm trying to do is change the direction of my thinking. And when I start to feel upset, when I start to feel frustrated or annoyed, or I want to complain about things, or I want to talk about how bad things are, instead of just emptying my mind, what I want to do is I want to fill my mind up on thoughts of God. I want to use these as triggers to start thinking about God instead of the things that I'm just helplessly annoyed with. I want to focus my attention to Jesus Christ. I want to start thinking about what's true. One of these triggers that I use for myself, because when I'm grouchy, I don't think true thoughts. I don't know if maybe you're the same way, but when I'm grouchy, I don't think healthy, constructive, true thoughts. And so I've started using a little flag for myself is when I have like a certain kind of few things that I say that come through my head, it's like my red flag that I got to stop myself. And when I do that, I have to stop in the moment and say, what's true right now? What's true is this person isn't out to get me. I'm grouchy. What's true is this person isn't actively seeking to ruin my happiness. I'm tired, right? Like, I have to ask myself these questions, because otherwise I go down these ugly cycles that aren't healthy or productive. So when we practice meditation, what we're doing is, instead of venting on everybody around me, instead of just unleashing my emotional quagmire of junk, I'm turning to Christ instead. I'm saying, Christ, here's the truth right now. I am grouchy. I am annoyed. I do want to complain. I want to say something really ugly and nasty, and I want to feel good about saying that ugly and nasty thing. But instead, I'm turning to you. Help me. And I'm focusing my thoughts on Jesus Christ, right? When I'm upset, when things don't seem fair, when I've worked really hard and I'm disappointed, I'm using these triggers to help me turn to Christ instead of just focusing on what's wrong. And this is why memorizing scripture is so incredibly powerful, because we get to memorize the promises of God. And in these moments when I'm trying to change my thinking and I'm trying to meditate on better things, I got to have good things to put in to replace the bad things with. All right, I have to be in charge of my thoughts and my emotions. I have to have monitors that let me say, not every thought that runs through here is a good thought. Shouldn't come out of the mouth, shouldn't be in the head. I got to have these triggers that help me think about it. And then I got to do the work to change the habit. And if you've ever tried working on a habit before, you know you just can't like run head into it and like change it. And you can't will it into going away. And you can't, it just... Habits are jerks and they're hard to work at, but they are fixable. They are changeable. And here's how you change a habit. You don't change a habit by just trying to cold turkey it and act like it doesn't exist. You replace it with something else. So we recognize there are habits I have in my life that don't serve me in healthy ways, but there are some habits I could develop that do. And so what I do is I take the habit that's unhealthy for me, that's bad for me, that's not good for my soul, and I replace it with one that is. Complaining is a habit, but so is gratitude. What if I replaced complaining with gratitude? Every time I want to say something jerky about somebody else, I say, I'm grateful for this. Every time I want to complain about how terrible something is, instead, I take a moment and say, these are three things that I'm thankful for in my life. Every time that I just want to think about negative things, I practice, what's one good thing I can see in my life right now? And every time I want to complain, I replace it with the habit of gratitude. And what's crazy is, just as complaining and negative thinking has a negative effect on our health, gratitude has a positive effect on our health. Look at what these studies have linked gratitude to. Better relationships, improved mental health, better physical health, decreased stress, increased energy, and exceptional mental strength. It literally is like the antibody to complaining, right? Like all the things that negative complaining does, gratitude goes in and fights back against them. We've talked about this a ton of times, but what if you just got in the habit of creating a gratitude journal? Just every morning when you wake up or every night when you go to bed, write down three things that you're grateful for. And don't just write down the same same three things every time. I have a job, I have a family, I have a home, right? Those are awesome. I'm not downplaying those at all. But what if you actually thought about today, right now, this is something I'm grateful for. We've been trying to practice this as a family. We don't do it every day. We're hit or miss, but we're trying. And it's interesting, like, do this with your kids. Like, you get to set a model for, these are things I'm grateful for. Like, we were doing it the other day, and I'm like, I'm grateful for rest. I'm grateful for bedtime, right? Like, we get to honestly express ourselves, but we get to teach the habit as we're doing it as well. And then here's another suggestion about complaining that I read. Change have to get to. Every time you catch yourself saying, well, I have to do this or I have to do this, change just those two words to get to, right? I'll use myself. I have to exercise becomes I get to exercise, right? I have to go to the grocery store. I'd rather have my eyeball popped out. You feel this way. Instead, I say, I get to go to the grocery store. Isn't it crazy how just that little bit of a word shift changes the focus of it? Instead of me complaining, I'm actually thinking from a positive, you know what? It is a stupid thing, but do you know how many people don't have access to a grocery store? I'm complaining about it because it annoys me and it takes forever and I'm stressful and grouchy and then I get in the longest line that's ever existed in the entire world. Okay, but I actually get to go to a grocery store, like, right? That's a first world problem to have. So what happens is you can change your complaining voice to an appreciative heart just by switching those two words. Every time you catch yourself, just switch those two words. It's really awkward at first, but keep doing it and see how that doesn't just affect your thinking and your behavior. And thinking about how to switch our focus from the negative to the positive and, okay. So here's why this matters. Look at verse 15. Says, do everything without grumbling and disputing, without complaining and fighting, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Here's the truth. When we change our habits, complaining, negativity, we get to shine our lights a little bit different. Now, just think about this for a second. If I say I love Jesus Christ, if I say I'm committed to following him and being his guy and being his girl in this world, it should show up in my attitude and my behaviors. I express my belief for Jesus Christ in how I live. I say I really believe this to be true about God by the things that I do. And I never, ever, ever become a better person. I never become a better follower of Christ by just complaining about life. But here's the side part about that. What must other people think about this Jesus Christ that I claim to love and follow based on the things I complain about? I mean, we want the world to know how awesome and good and wonderful he is and what he's done and how he's changed me and how my life is so much better. But how does that reflect the goodness of Christ when I just complain about everything like everybody else? And the same is true for our church. We never become a better, healthier, growing, thriving church when we're caught up in the negative habits and cycles of complaining. The church doesn't make an awesome impact on the world by complaining about all of the things that are wrong in the world and all of the things that are going to hell in a handbasket. But even further, what must the world think of us as a church based on the things that I complain about? Friends, we make a difference in this world. We make a change, not by complaining about the problems, but by actually diving in head first to confront the biggest problems that our world has to offer. We make a difference in this world by going into the problems in our community, not just complaining about them, but actively seeking ways to solve them and fix them and make a difference in them, how to change it for good. And it all starts with me. It all starts with every one of us as an individual. When I check this habit I have of complaining, when I check this habit I have of negativity, it doesn't just benefit my heart and my soul and my mind. It benefits others as well. it benefits those around us as well, because our faith for Jesus Christ becomes evident in our lives and we shine like awesome lights for him. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would just hear our hearts right now. We want to be your guys and your girls. We long, Father, to just do life differently. And so we start with asking for help. Father, we admit we have habits that aren't good for us. We've fallen into routines that don't help us grow and thrive into the men and women that you've called us to be. So, Father, I pray that you would shine a light into the darkness of our hearts. Father, where we've got these negative pockets that we've been clinging to, help us to open them up to you. Father, I pray that you would root out negativity and complaining from our lives, and we would sow gratitude into who we are. I pray that the world would take notice and that the name of Christ would be glorified in it all. In his name we pray. Amen.